Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to the Race IndyCar podcast. Nice to have you back with us. On this week's show, we've got Joseph Newgarden joining us for a special interview about all things St. Pete, where he won the opening round of the IndyCar season. Also talks to us a little bit more about his mental approach for the season, how he's changed things, and a little bit about how Penske has kicked off the season in perfect fashion after, of course, he won the 24 Hours of Daytona as well, which I'll reference in just a second when we speak to him. Also coming up on the show, we'll outline what to expect from this weekend's Thermal 1 Million Challenge race. All of the details about that made-for-TV event, which is not part of the IndyCar Championship, so no points on offer this weekend. It's purely a dash for cash, an all-star type race that IndyCar has launched for this season. A bit of an experiment. We'll get into all the details. Some very unusual rules. There's some heat races and a final. So a little bit different to what we normally see over an IndyCar weekend. So we'll get into all that for you very shortly. For now, we're going to head over and we're going to speak to Nashville's finest, Joseph Newgarden. All right, Joseph Newgarden, welcome back to the Race IndyCar podcast. 100% winner in 2024. You might think I'm joking because we've only had one IndyCar race, but you also won the 24 Hours of Daytona as well. So welcome, congratulations. Been a good start to the year for you. You must be feeling pretty good right now.
It's a great start. It's always good to talk to you guys. And it's been a tremendous start for Team Penske, I think is the real statement. You know, when you look at our team, they've had a really good opening to the year across the board, and it was super cool to be a part of the 24. And when I say be a part of it, I think I just showed up at the right time. it was a great bystander. But yeah, it's been encouraging. You know, I think we're all motivated as always. I don't think the motivation is different to previous years, but we're definitely ready for this full season.
I know you talked a little bit in the kind of post-race press conference about your approach changing for this year, and I guess you must be sick about hearing this now, about your kind of mental approach to 2024. Were you surprised about how many people were kind of interested in that? Because I guess it's something that doesn't always get talked about as much in motorsport necessarily, as like how drivers mentally approach their racing and their life in general. And you were really open about, you know, kind of talking about that. So I guess, were you surprised that so many people jumped on it and were interested in kind of what you were talking about?
Well, I think they're looking for, you know, any little nugget right now to lean into. So I certainly wasn't trying to, you know, bring attention to it. You know, when you get asked the question, you know, I'm going to answer it, you know, to the best of my knowledge and honestly, and it is a part of my story for sure. You know, I feel like I'm in a good place, but on top of that, you know, I think there's a lot of other good things that are going on that, you know, brought the success to the first round in St. Pete. You know, it's many things. So yeah, the personal side of it is definitely, it's nice. You know, I've had a little bit of a transition period and I didn't even really want to dive into it too much. And there's probably more to all of it than what I alluded to. I think people are trying to like take bits and pieces from it and like create an entire story out of it when it's probably not the full picture. But everything is good, you know, just to come back to it. I think I'm in a really good place. The team's in a great spot, you know, happy to be back at work. You know, it's a fun job to have. I'm enjoying it immensely and just ready for hopefully a rock solid season. You know, that's the other thing I would say. You got to temper this. This is round one. Everybody, every single year gets really excited after the first round and they all of a sudden want to, you know, pick championship favorites. They want to like give you the whole rundown, and it's just one of 17 races. So I would encourage people to temper that.
First off, I just want to say, you know, I texted you afterwards and whatever, but you know, just everything that you said, you know, throughout the weekend, and you know, got a little kind of flavor of it post race, like you were mentioning. Just happy for you, bro. Like, it's I love seeing people being able to enjoy the thing that they do well, you know, as at their kind of maximum, like, you know, whatever, just at the maximum level. You know, I think I've gone through it. You know, you and I have talked about this, like, even just in the context of, you know, my racing or my career sometimes, but is like, you feel like it, like when, even when it's going well and you're not feeling like you're enjoying it that much, like it's a weird feeling to have, you know, like it's like you kind of, I've certainly had the experience of like kind of stepping away from my own situation sometimes, being like, what am I doing? Like, why am I not enjoying this more? You know, like I'm getting to do the thing that I always wanted to do, you know, and that you, but that somehow the, you know, I don't know, the expectations or the competitiveness of it or the performance, you know, the dependency on performance or whatever starts to kind of creep in. So I guess I really say all that just to say, like, I'm glad to see you kicking ass and feeling good about it. Cause you've been kicking ass a lot over the last few years and it hasn't always seemed like you're feeling super good about it, you know? I mean, does that, I'm kind of curious, like, you don't have to dig in super deep or whatever, but I'm curious if there was there anything in particular that kind of, you know, made you think heading into this off season or whatever, like, maybe I need to, you know, zoom out a little and sort of, you know, assess.
I mean, I think we could have a conversation about this stuff for multiple hours. I really do. You know, you're going to like scratch the surface.
Yeah.
But you're going to, you know, we talk for 20, 30 minutes. So you're just going to scratch the surface. I'm just going to state this, but I think you're always in a losing position when you have this job. And what I mean by that is, I don't think the majority of people really care about if I'm liking my job or disliking it. You know, I think most people look at it and they say, you got a great position, be thankful, say the right things and just enjoy. And that's all we really want from you. But at the end of the day, you know, we're all humans. We all experience things in a very similar way. I think, you know, we go through the same experiences is maybe a better way to put it. Not everybody experiences it in an IndyCar world like me, but you know, there's other things that are very applicable to it in life. You know, we're all going through this together and trying to, you know, make something of ourselves in this world. So I think it does matter. You know, I think like a person's position and how they feel about things, and you know, as long as you have a balance to it, it matters. But I'm contextualizing that in the point that I don't think most people care about, you know, the deep intrinsic like emotions that I have with my job. And that's totally fine. Totally fine. I'm in a good spot, and you know, I'm really thankful for my job. And to kind of like touch on what you were speaking about, JR, like it's a weird position to be in when you know, you have an amazing job, and you know, it's a dream job for someone like us, that we like driving race cars, we like working with race teams, and you know, coming up, you know, going to the racetrack and trying to solve a problem. And you're just not, if you get to a place where you're not enjoying that, it's a bizarre feeling. Like, it's just, you know, I didn't like being in that position. I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, and normally, I don't know why stuff's coming out of me more right now. I'm a very private person. I don't normally divulge this stuff, but there was definitely points last year where, I mean, I just remember, like, I didn't even want to get in the car. And, you know, that sounds extremely dramatic to state that, but I could never imagine a time in my life where I was like, I don't need to drive this car today. I don't like have to do that. You know, from like a personal feeling standpoint, I would never have thought I would have felt that way. And I did at points last year, which was very bizarre to me. I don't feel like that now. You know, I'm in a good spot with it, and we're going to go forward, but it is, you know, it's interesting. I guess where I'm trying to really go with all this is, you know, there's a balance to it. I don't think people should be too shy about, you know, trying to really understand what makes them tick and what makes them happy. Like we all have that, and we all, you know, have to, you know, reason with ourselves in certain ways in our life. And that's okay. Like, it's all right to have that conversation and that feeling if you're in a place where you need it.
Well, I guess I've got two questions. One is, so Will seemed like he went through this kind of like a couple of years ago, in a way, or in his own way. you know, and I don't, you know, he was particularly, I feel like, tight-lipped about the whole thing. But did that have any impact on you, or is that like a totally independent, you know, whatever he was, because prior to his championship season, you know, he made a point throughout that year of kind of talking about how he, you know, had sort of a reset prior to that season, and that it seemed like in some ways there was some similarity, like he just kind of wasn't really finding himself, like, and I'm putting words in his mouth, but like he felt like he wasn't kind of aligned with the things that, you know, really mattered, you know, that make showing up to the racetrack feel meaningful to him, you know? And maybe, you know, I've experienced any of this, you know, obviously you guys have a whole different level of success than I've had in IndyCar, but you know, when you get to that level, just being at that level, being full-time at that level, you know, being paid to show up and drive at that level, you know, there's social, there's all of this extracurricular stuff that, you know, sometimes you're like, what are the priorities here? Like, what are the things that, you know, I've kind of got myself into a position where there's a lot of like dependencies, and there's sponsor stuff, there's team stuff, there's performance on track. All of these things feel interrelated. You know, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of baggage that you're carrying around kind of from like different things that actually don't have anything to do with just going out and driving the car. And I think for me, it was like, I think just thinking back to like, why did I start doing this? You know, like when I started what was enjoyable about like driving a go-kart for the first time? And it's like, it's just the feeling of going out there and driving. And when you're actually in the car, it's just you and the car and the track. And if you can limit it to that, then you do get to this kind of place of zen where, like, you know, I don't know this, but it's like your whole body chemistry changes. Like you just start to, you know, you feel something that you sort of can't feel doing something else. And when we talked to Will a couple of times throughout that year and after the season, and it felt like there was something in that kind of resonated with him, like that he was just getting back to, you know, this kind of core thing that he actually really does connect with about, you know, the why of him showing up at the track and doing this in the first place. So I'm curious if that registers with you at all, or just in general, if the fact that one of your teammates went through a little bit of this in his own way, if that had any impact on, you know, the way that you've thought about it since then.
I mean, I think mine is very different. It's, you know, Will's was interesting. I only have my perspective on Will. I can't speak on his behalf.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Like, I haven't seen a huge difference with Will at the track. You know, I saw the public side of, you know, what he was stating over the last couple of years, and I'm not in his world again, so I can't speak for him or on his behalf, but I didn't see a big difference with him over the last couple of years. And I know mine very intimately. Mine is like a way different deal, at least for what it is for me. And it involves a lot of stuff. And, you know, just simply put, I'm just trying to get back to, you know, enjoying the job. And there's a lot that came with that. It wasn't like I had an epiphany. You know, this has been a work in progress for me for probably a good 12 months. And I would say even before that, I had the same things that, you know, I disliked or struggled with for a long, long time. You know, one of my things is just the perfection of it. You know, it's really easy for me to sit here and talk about it now because we've had one race and we won the race. Of course, we're feeling pretty good and everyone's got to be really happy right now. Like, I think you're gonna have to check in with me in 4 months time. Let's see where we're at middle of the summer. And, you know, if it's still going well, there's no way we're going to just have all good weekends. You know, there's going to be some adversity that we have to go through. So I think there's still hurdles up the road and stuff that I'm going to have to continue to work on. And, you know, I normally wouldn't bring this to the surface like whatsoever. I normally wouldn't even talk about it. I think for the first time in my career, it became very visible, though, last year, which is like, you know, it was a little awkward for me because I try and pride myself in putting on a good face and, and not displaying that. And I think there was a couple times last year where you could tell, like, you know, is he like, what's up with him? Like, why is he all peeved? And, you know, I didn't want to be like that. And, you know, I just know the position I'm in with my team, and I genuinely enjoy my job, and I genuinely enjoy the people that I get to work with. And I want to, you know, be the champion for them every day. And I certainly wasn't upholding that end of the bargain at times last year. And that's the first time I think it was like truly visible. So yeah, that's where I really, you know, dug in and tried to get back and recentered. But having said all this, you know, I do want to make a point back to this is a small piece of why we had success at St. Pete. There is so much more to it than just me and, you know, me feeling good. You know, our team has done a tremendous amount of work. You know, our partners, specifically Chevrolet, have just really brought something incredible for this season. There's a multitude of reasons why we found success at St. Pete. And I think it all just came together at the right point, and you saw, you know, a tremendous amount of strength from it on that first weekend.
We definitely don't want to put you in the dock, Joseph, and we really appreciate you going into some more detail on it and talking about it. I know it's not always difficult to talk about these kind of things, and we definitely don't want to make you feel uncomfortable or make you share any more than you want to. So thank you for going into that a bit more. It's really cool for people. I think especially people on the outside who just don't understand how difficult the job of a racing driver can be. And like you said, obviously a lot of people see the kind of glitz and glamour side of it, but don't always see the level of difficulty that goes into it. So it's really cool to hear that from your perspective. Let's go back to St. Pete quickly, because I guess you must feel that has even more value, I guess, being the first race of the season, kicking your season off in that way, and knowing some of the struggles that you had last year. I know you really wanted to bag that pole, and you really wanted to get back to winning on road and street courses again. And I guess, obviously, of course, winning a race at any time is really good, but I'm guessing you feel like that's, you know, the perfect way to kick off your season, and it's given your team a lot of momentum looking forward.
It was a really nice surprise in a lot of ways. I think surprise is okay to use, because I mean, we didn't show up expecting to be as strong as we were, you know, across the weekend. It was maybe like a slow burn. We started out a little bit, not behind, but we weren't like clearly leading the pack in first practice. And then we just built, into practice two, and things were really starting to click. And then, you know, qualifying was just pretty smooth from our side. You know, it was just a nice, easy day, and we put it together at the right time. And then race day was really just like the cherry on top. Like, it just kind of showed the strength and the breadth, you know, across the whole race. And that was really encouraging to see. And there was a lot of strengths within the race there that I think we can lean on throughout the year in different situations and, you know, different track combos. So it was a great start for us. I don't think it could have been better. And it leaves me really excited for the year. You know, I do think 2024 is an opportunity for us to really finally reach our potential. I've said that for a lot of years, and I do believe our potential is significantly higher than what we've achieved in the past. And, you know, we're striving for that every single season. We've been trying to hit that target, and I hope this year we can get that a little bit closer.
Just a quick question about the St. Pete race, because while we were watching it, you know, it's kind of the way that it ended up was such that it was a little, you were fairly uncontested at the end. And so, I mean, you were totally uncontested at the end.
Making it look easy.
It was, but I'm curious. So it was also, there was also an element of it that it's like, okay, well, it looked like if McLaughlin or Will had gotten around Pato, that they certainly had some extra pace. Did you feel like you had pace in hand? Like, were you kind of just managing towards the end?
Surprisingly, yes. 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 I mean, I guess to answer your question, it's simply just yes.
I mean, the car looked totally dialed. Like, when I watched your qualifying lap, I was like, God, like, that just, it looks, not that it looked easy, but just, it looked like it's basically, seems like it's basically doing whatever he's asking of it, you know, like you looked very like in tune with the way the thing was handling, you know, like you were kind of half a step ahead of the lap the whole way around the lap, which is, you know, pole laps often look like that more than others, because it's just, it's driver and car being in the right combination to be able to produce that lap. And sometimes you don't always have both, but, I mean, that was, we talked about it on the post-race pod, just that it was like, I remember as soon as I saw the onboard of that lap, like the full onboard, I was like, like, that's going to be tough to beat tomorrow, you know? So that resonates with me that you probably had a little left in the tank if you had needed it.
Yeah, the combination was just so good. I mean, if, you know, I left that race saying, if you give that to me, you know, every race this year, we're going to be in a great position. You know, it doesn't matter where we start, like, we're just going to be, you know, in a position to battle, and really do a great job. It was so fun to drive that car. You know, what stood out to me was, I hate using the word easy, but it was easy to make lap time. It was easy to drive that car to the limit. You know, there's times at the racetrack where you're really fast, but you're working really hard to be fast. And then there's times when you're really fast and you're not working that hard to be that quick. It's just there. There was just an ease to the speed. And, you know, it's the most fun you're going to have in a car when it's easy to make lap time.
Joseph, we've got Thermal coming up this weekend. I'm curious how you're approaching this from a driving perspective, just based on the fact that it's probably, if not the first time in your career, then one of the first times in your career that you're purely racing for a race win and for the money that's available, as opposed to a championship or the points that are on offer. So do you feel like you're approaching this race in any different way to any normal race, or is it kind of business as usual for you?
I don't really know yet. And I mean that with sincerity. I think no one really understands exactly how we're going to approach this weekend. I also think that's okay. You know, this is a trial for IndyCar. It's an exhibition event. You know, at the end of the day, it's also just good testing time. It's more seat time with the team and the car. And I don't know 100% how it's going to flow. I think it's going to be a day by day thing. You know, we're going to rock up there and have a lot of time on Friday, sort of get our feet wet, see where we're at. And I think we're going to plan to be very flexible, you know, depending on how things evolve. And then the race itself, you know, we are playing for some money, which is always entertaining. I think, you know, there's definitely going to be some groups that take that extremely seriously as they should. And, you know, then as far as the details themselves, you know, we're just gonna have to see how it goes. It's a great experiment. I love that. I'm never going to knock IndyCar for trying new things. And I think it's important for us to do this type of stuff. Even if it doesn't go perfectly, maybe we learn how to have a better exhibition style event in the future, which is a good thing. But yeah, we just have to see how it pans out. I think we're definitely cognizant of the race season and that this doesn't pay points, but we're also cognizant that this is seat time. This is an opportunity for us to, you know, test and make the most of it. So, you know, I think we're going to be playing both sides of that.
Joseph, can you give us a flavor of what Thermal is like from a driver's point of view? I feel like it is the least known track on the schedule just because of how much time IndyCar's had there. So for the fans, I'm kind of interested in if you can give us a flavor of what the track's like, and also if there's any obvious parts of the track that are really important for like overtaking or to make sure that you're kind of getting right. Is there any kind of things that stand out to you about the place?
Yeah, I'm still kind of digging into my notes right now. I remember first off very much enjoying the track. You know, last year we had a preseason test there and it was fun to mix it up. You know, it was a new experience for all of us. Difficult track, very demanding, like super heavy steering weight. I think for me that jumped out like immediately last year was one of the most physically demanding tracks on new tires that I had ever been to. Didn't have that expectation and just kind of jumped out right away. I remember tire degradation being pretty high, as you would expect with, you know, that type of surface. I mean, it's not quite to a Sonoma level, but I think it's more in that range than a new pavement track. I hope that's the case in the race. You know, I saw there was some concerns with the format as far as the length of the race itself. And I do hope tire degradation comes into play, because that's what's going to make the race fun. You know, I think that's what makes Laguna a blast and a place like Sonoma, where you see that heavy drop off. I don't know that we're going to maybe see enough of it, but it is a factor. It's something you need to be looking into. And it's very technical. Like if you look at the track map itself, which people will see this weekend, you know, there's a lot of different types of sequences. You have very high speed sections, and then you have some very low speed sections. You have like pure hairpins. you have like a low speed chicane where it's, you know, very give and take, and you've got to understand where to prioritize, you know, entries versus exits. So I found it to be very technical when we were there, not just from a driving standpoint, but also from a setup standpoint. So that's exciting because it gives you, you know, gives you ways to be better than the competition.
I have a totally like random bonus question here, which is Nashville at the end of the year, the Oval. You've never driven on it, right?
Never. Nope.
Yeah. Are you stoked? Like, just we'll take that being the last race and whatever. So not that it's the season ender, but like, what's your kind of first impression of having that track on the schedule, just kind of anywhere?
So I think the way this has all gone down is very bittersweet. On one hand, you know, obviously we were excited to be downtown on the streets, and I still hope that comes to fruition in the future. You know, there was a lot of circumstances in play that shifted it. But on the other hand, I'm pretty excited to go to the Super Speedway. Like, I love that we are still in Nashville. It is championship weekend here in this city, which is a great spot to be. And we've got a great racetrack that we're going to be driving at that I've always wanted to race on. You know, the Super Speedway in Nashville is one of the first tracks that I watched Indy cars in person as a kid. And I definitely used to go there, you know, back 03, 04. I saw events there and was really, you know, mesmerized by the cars, as, you know, as you are when you're a young kid. So I am stoked about it. I'm ready for the challenge. I hope for us that, you know, it's more akin to an Iowa than anything else. Not just because we're good at Iowa, but, you know, we like the racing style of that. You know, having multiple lanes is going to be imperative. We don't know if that's, you know, going to be the case yet, but I think if we can build multiple lanes, that's going to be the key to having a good race. And, you know, the surface is quite unique to anywhere else that we go. And I've seen some, you know, some dialogue from Firestone and everyone else about that it'll be a good challenge. But I think it's going to be great. You know, it really is a cool setup, and I hope it's something that we can conquer.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a cool track. It was my first year of Indy Lights we ran there. So like, that was 08, which I think was the last, I mean, obviously that was the last IndyCar race that was there that year. And it was definitely, it's just a different animal. Like, it's a different style of track, which is cool. Like, I think it's, just, you know, obviously this year we've got a lot of ovals on the schedule, so anybody who's been saying that they want more ovals on the schedule is getting their wish, you know, in 2024. But you know, it's actually, I think it's cool just to have, again, so I'm just taking this out of, you know, take away the context of kind of the swap out for the last race, because I'm with you, like, would have been really cool to be downtown and whatever. But just if we think more broadly about the tracks that are on the schedule, and, you know, you guys were talking about, I just thought about it while you guys were talking about thermal, like, that's another new addition that, you know, old man winter Scott Dixon has plenty of laps around that place, but pretty much nobody else, you know, or very few other people. So I think it's going to be cool to show up to you. I'm with you. You know, I don't think it has the progressive banking that like Iowa and Homestead have, but it is, you know, it's big enough cornering radius. And I assume they'll run the Speedway aero package. Do you know?
As opposed
to the short oval aero?
I think there's going to be more Iowa-esque, without knowing, you know, the rules package
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you'll have a bit of a road course setup with everything trimmed back and, you know, some max angles and all that. So it'll be lighter downforce, but not Speedway spec.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be cool. I mean, I'm with you. I think if, especially through, you know, in a weird way, it drives, I feel like, a little bit like, you know, it's just bigger and higher banked, but drives a little bit like St. Louis, just in that one and two is a little tougher than three and four. But even if you could just get to where three and four is like a two lane situation, or whatever, like, it could be a really good race. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I was just curious. I'm curious how much you thought about it, which you don't have any reason to hear yet, but
yeah, I really haven't actually, now that, you know, you put me on the spot. I'm like, I haven't dug into it. Obviously we will, you know, there's going to be some work that has to be put into that. But I think it's very open-ended. You know, it's going to be hard to compare it to the, you know, the early 2000s era, just because the car is so different from then. Tires are different, tracks evolved. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think people can draw any parallels yet. If they were like, oh, we like the race or we dislike the race from back then, I don't think it really compares. So it is going to be interesting to see, you know, how we get on.
What people aren't talking about, which I'm surprised about, is that whether it's on the street course or the oval course, there will still be Hattie B's hot chicken. So there's really nothing not to like.
Look, the Nashville situation is strong for many reasons. I do think this is where we need to be ending the year. It makes a lot of sense. It is centrally located to a tremendous amount of IndyCar fans. It's a good city. You know, we need to live it up and have a great championship weekend. I think that part of the equation, no doubt, is a positive all around.
And Hattie B's hot chicken. Anyway, Joseph, thanks for joining us. We wish you the best luck at Thermal. Hopefully you win some money and then you can start focusing on Long Beach and the Indy 500. I'm sure you're focusing on the Indy 500 already, of course. And yeah, we'll get you back in a few months, as you said, and talk a little bit more about how your season's going. But for now, thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Great to have Joseph with us. He's always really open and honest with us, and we really respect that. Obviously, he was a teammate of JR, and you'll obviously have worked out from either listening to this episode or previous episodes that they are in good contact and speak to each other a fair bit. And they're also always challenging each other on the exercise side of things as well. They're always doing crazy physical challenges to prepare and keep themselves in shape. So lovely little relationship between those two. And yeah, Joseph's always super honest and insightful when he's asked some of these questions. And yeah, we just reiterate, it's really cool to have him speaking about some of those things that have troubled him in the past, and how his whole approach to racing has had to be adapted or changed over the past sort of 12 months or so, and how he's kind of approached 2024. So I'm sure you enjoyed listening to that. So let's move on to Thermal, which we did speak to Joseph about slightly there. He gave you a little insight into what to expect in terms of the track itself, the corners, and some of the challenges from a racing driver's point of view. So what I'm going to do is outline what to expect from this weekend. So we've got four test sessions, two across Friday and two across Saturday. They're lengthy, two-hour test sessions. So 8 hours of testing in the build-up to this race. So as much as this is a dash for cash and an important fall TV event for IndyCar, it's also a massive opportunity for the IndyCar teams to test and, yeah, to trial some things, to experiment, and not just have the best chance of winning the Thermal 1 million challenge, but also improving their road course car for the rest of the season. Also on Saturday, after those two test sessions, there'll be two qualifyings. So we'll have Group 1 and Group 2 in qualifying, and that will set the order for Sunday's heat races. Both of those happen in the morning. Both of those will send the fastest six cars in those two heat races through to the final, which will be a 12-car shootout for the prize money. So the prize money is $500,000 for the winner, $350,000 for second place, $250,000 for third, $100,000 for fourth, and $50,000 for fifth. And then anyone from sixth on back earns $23,000 for their participation. There's a few other interesting bits to pick out for you. One is that the push-to-pass overtake system will be in use for qualifying for the first time. So there's 40 seconds of push-to-pass over the course of a lap here at Thermal, where the drivers can tactically use their push-to-pass like they would in a race, which is super interesting for the fight for pole and some of the ways the driver might use the push-to-pass and which corners they'll use it and where they'll use it. So they won't have it for the full lap, just for the 40 seconds. So going to be really interesting to see how that all pans out. In the final, that'll be split into two with a break after 10 laps. So it's a 20-lap final, but with a break after 10 laps. And in that sort of break in the middle there, the teams will be able to add fuel. They'll be able to adjust the front and rear wing angles, and they'll also be able to add and remove wickers. And that's it. So yeah, the drivers, they'll also get a renewed push to pass for the second part as well. So they'll have 40 seconds in each part. Only tyres used during the heat race will be available as a replacement in the final, and any tyre change has to be approved by IndyCar. So we're not expecting to see many tyre changes. And I think that's part of what Joseph was talking about as part of the plan to spice up the show a little bit, is to have those tyres going off. So we don't want any fresh tyres in this 20-lap final. We want some degrading tyres to make life interesting. So that about rounds up what to expect from Thermal. It's a big opportunity for a lot of drivers to try and go for a significant prize boost, and also obviously the bragging rights of winning the first ever $1 million challenge event at Thermal. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. We're trying to approach it with an open mind. Some of the things on the rules and some of the things in terms of the format might look a bit gimmicky to some people, or they might not be clear exactly why they're happening, but IndyCar has definitely tried its best to kind of figure this out and do it in the most exciting way for fans and for TV. So we'll definitely judge this with a post-race podcast of a sort of different kind, I guess, because we're not talking about a championship race, we're talking about a dash for cash. But we'll definitely be back, JR and I, to evaluate all of what happens in Palm Springs. So that's all for this episode of the Race IndyCar podcast, and we'll be back next week.
The Athletic.